Hello and welcome back to Let's Grow Girls, your favourite flowery podcast, I hope.
So this week we've got a bit of a curveball for you in that your guest is me and Sarah. We don't actually have a third person on today's episode, but we thought it was about time, seeing as we've slightly changed the format of the episodes, that we no longer have like the intro bit that we had from Sarah and I, that it would be a good opportunity to give you all a bit of an update as to how our gardens are doing, and just give you a general update of things. So hopefully my intro hasn't bored you and you've switched off.
Don't tempt them, Nicole. Don't tempt them.
And we're going to give you a little bit of an update on where we're at with gardens and sort of slight changes in circumstance. So do you want to start, Sarah?
Well, I was thinking, because we've had so many new people, haven't we? Who just listen and have literally no idea who we are, and we never really say who we are or what we
do. Should
we
do a little refresh and recap?
Little intro.
Then?
So tell me,
little
Nicole.
Intro.
Give me your intro.
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot. Last time we did one of these intros, I actually prepared for it. I had notes, but I guess. Hi, I'm Nicole. That's so cheesy, isn't it? I live in Peterborough in Cambridgeshire, which is in the kind of middle of England. For our overseas followers, that is near Cambridge, like as in the famous university. So I grow in quite middle climates. We don't have zones here in the UK, so all I can say is we get nice-ish summers, and our winters can tip into freezing sometimes, but not very often. We don't get snow or anything dramatic like that, really, although we have had some mad crazy storms recently. I grow on an allotment. That was going to be part of my update, so we'll come on to that. And for those of you who don't know what an allotment is, it's kind of like a plot that you can rent from your local council and grow whatever you want on it. So that is me. I do have a small patch that I can grow on at home, but because I cut so many of my flowers, I do prefer having the allotment plot because I can cut and not have to be sad about my garden looking naked.
Okay, quick fire questions.
Oh, go for
it. What are you addicted to?
Dahlias, duh.
But okay, what else? What, outside of flowers, what are your top three addictions? Hit me.
Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, the garden and allotment are fueled by Diet Coke. I am not a nice person without it. I don't know, what other addictions? Diet Coke and flowers. I mean, what more could anybody want out of life, really?
Cake.
I would have said pre-COVID traveling. I love traveling. Oh. Cake is a good one,
you
although
like
not
cake.
An addiction. Okay. I love cake, but I don't know if it's an addiction. Maybe chickens is going to become my addiction, because if the people don't know from all of the episodes, I'm slightly obsessed with a kind of farm animal.
Animals.
And I'm getting chickens.
Woohoo. Similar vein, I'm also addicted to Diet Coke. Oh, hi, I'm Sarah, in case you can't hear that. I am changing. I am currently, I grow in a community garden on an army base somewhere in the north cold part of England. I had a message from one of our American listeners, actually, who asked me if everyone in England is just in an eternal mild spring. And I'm,
it feels
like
it.
Pretty much. And the further north you go, the more eternal and mild it is. So,
but do you know what they're calling it at the moment? Fool's spring, because it seems nice. Like, I've got some daffodils coming up round by me. But then yesterday it rained all day.
Well, and also I feel like we have these different climates, and it's so hard to explain to people in other climates that, like, we're calling it a nice spring, but it's like 8 degrees currently. It's not like warm or nice at all. I'm wearing like a polo neck jumper.
But the sun's shining, so we're all happy.
Yeah, we're all calling it spring. Yeah, it's great. I started that community garden to deliver flowers to the families of deployed serving men and women here in the UK. But that is changing. I am soon to buy a house, which is like the most exciting thing ever. I'm going to be a real adult. But that house is in a city and it's a little terraced house with a little garden. So that's my big journey this year, is going to be converting from big open cut flower spaces to a little yard. That's me.
Maybe you're going to get an allotment too.
I probably will, yeah. Oh, that, and I have a dog called Steve. So if you hear me talk about Steve's, not a person.
You've got Steve and I've got Sophie the dog. They've actually got
human names. We should set them names. They could be boyfriend and girlfriend. I think that'd be really cute. Yeah, long distance.
And for those of you who don't know this, fun fact about me and Sarah is we have known each other since the February before COVID started.
Oh yeah.
So what is that? What year was that? 2020?
February 2020. It's time. So
we're probably like past an anniversary here that we haven't actually celebrated.
Two whole years,
and we've never actually met each other.
Not in real life, no. But we talk pretty much every day.
Weirdly.
Yeah. That is.
And we need to arrange this meeting at some point this year. If we can't go another year.
No.
We can't go another year. And so you mentioned. You asked me what my addictions were.
Mm-hmm.
You also went for Diet Coke. Anything else?
Hand cream.
Oh,
I was telling you.
Now
this
you're
recently.
Talking my language. Do you know? I was
stop
just
stealing
thinking,
my ideas.
No, I'm at my husband's desk, and there's no hand cream around here, and it's very upsetting. Mm. Pet hates.
People who say things like "no offense." But, and you're like, no, you mean to be offensive. Like,
I'm not trying to be rude, but.
Yeah. But, and then they just be rude. And you're like,
just because you try to excuse yourself doesn't make it okay. Rude.
No. Yeah, back off. You know you're going to be rude. Stop being rude. Why don't you just say nothing? What about you?
I was going to go with something flower related. And I was going to be controversial and say how much I hate cornflowers. Cornflowers and bad drivers. There you
go. Nicole's got some road rage. It's coming off your waves there. That was indicative of your driving.
That's my 7-hour drive home from Glasgow yesterday. After we had a little weekend break visiting the in-laws, I suffered from some rage, let's just say that. Our roads in this country, for our American and European listeners, are not the same as yours. They're horrible. But less said about that and the more said about flowers. So, Sarah,
I was enjoying the personal section. I feel like no one has any idea who we are. That I bet everyone's like, whoa, who are these people?
Well, Sarah, actually, that is probably a good point here. Like, I don't know if we've ever really discussed this on the podcast, but like, why did we start the podcast? Should we tell the people?
We did not prep for this. Yeah, go on, you start. No notes on this topic. Go on.
You start.
Oh, you want me to start?
It was your idea.
Okay.
It was all your idea.
What happened? Oh, well, so Nicole's been gardening a lot longer than I have. I'm quite a newbie gardener, in case I have not already given that away with all my newbie questions. You're all welcome. My granny's always been a gardener, and I've always grown up in her gardens, but never really felt the draw, and I always lived in London, so I never really had the ability to be a gardener because I always lived in flats or gardens with or houses with small gardens. And also I thought I was like too cool. I was like a corporate. I was like, I'm just too cool for gardening, you know. I assumed I'd get to it in my retirement age. Little did I know what was coming for me. I moved here to be with my other half. Lockdown was striking and something just came over me. I think I found Florette on Instagram. I think that might have been where it started. I had Florette's book and I was just like, I think I'm going to grow a bunch of flowers. And then I'm pretty sure I messaged you about something in specifically on Instagram. I was like, hi,
yes.
I have no recollection of what it was, but I'm pretty sure I did it politely.
I do remember what you messaged me about.
Tell us.
It was actually, I had posted that I'd been to the cinema with some of my girlfriends to see Military Wives, and I'd
That's
said how I absolutely roared watching it. And you messaged me to say you cried as well. And then we just struck up a conversation. What a theme. And from there it went.
Well, and then, so some more personal information that people probably don't know. In my day job, I work in marketing. What do you do in your day job, Nicole?
Nothing quite so glamorous, although I do work with a lot of marketing people. I am a compliance senior manager for a big price comparison site here in the UK, and I make sure everybody
follows the rules.
He follows the rules. The marketing rules is my specific role. So,
and she does bring that into our partnership. She is often like, Sarah, and I'm like, oh, sorry. But no, so I've got a marketing brain, and in my journey as a newbie gardener slash specifically flower growing, because like, no offense to anyone who likes growing veg, but boring, there wasn't really a podcast to fill the gap. And in one of our many chats, I was like, hey, Nicole, should we try and fill a gap?
And my answer was
no.
I don't want to do that. I don't have time. I don't know how to work technology. Let's not bother. And Sarah, to your absolute credit, you knew there was something in this, and you chipped away at me, and you chipped away at me, and I said, just to shut you up, let's try it. And there we did.
We
tried it.
Despite not knowing each other in real life or having ever met in real life, I think we're very similar. I think we're both very stubborn. We both like Diet Coke. We both have a lot of hand cream. We both grow flowers. We both got dogs with human names. And I think your stubborn was out-stubborned by my stubborn.
On this occasion, I will give you that. Mostly we're on the same page with things. I needed a little bit more convincing for the podcast. And I think, you know, like initially I was concerned about the time, and I don't think we've ever quite gotten over the amount of time it takes to do the podcast. Especially when you were doing all of the editing. You know, it's just been such a massive time commitment. So I feel like my fears were kind of
realized
based on something real. But what I didn't realize was how much I would love doing it, and that I wouldn't mind about the time commitment, because I've loved all of the episodes that we've done, maybe apart from one or two, but that would be very unprofessional of me to say who, right? But you know. I wonder if the listeners could guess.
I also think a really exciting part is how much we've had to learn about doing this. We never thought anyone more than about 200 people would ever listen. Do you remember?
Well, we totally had it down to, like, I can remember us having the conversation, and I said, as long as your partner listens, my husband listens, maybe a couple of our friends might listen. You know, we might get a pity listen from our parents or something. And we were like, oh, if we make it up to 20, like, how amazing would that be?
Yeah.
And then it just grew and grew and grew. I mean, we like nearly died when 200 people listened to an episode. And now I'm almost like afraid to say how many we have.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty fair. We get, so in total, so not per episode, but per week at the moment, it's like 20,000 of you are all listening to episodes. And that is terrifying, especially for me, who is a newbie gardener. I try and explain it to people, and I'm like, yeah, I haven't been gardening for very long, but I'm a co-host on a podcast about gardening. But they're not here for me. They're here for the people we interview. So that makes it fine. That makes it all okay.
Yes. And do you know what I love is when people message us to say, I have listened to that episode 3 times. I took notes, and now I've grown this. And they send the picture. It always makes me so happy to hear, like, we've aided them in their flower growing journeys.
Enough of a ramble. Sorry, that was all.
I felt like that went a bit cheesy as well.
A little bit, but I'm going to blame you for the cheese, so that's fine.
Moving on from the cheese.
Back to gardening. Well, for reference, Nicole just necked a can of Diet Coke. Just like chugged it right back.
That was like the last sip, hello. I did not just chug a can of Coke. You don't even like it to me.
So previous year, talk to me, what happened in your gardening flowery world in 2021?
So I had a change in that I have gardened on the same allotment plot for about 3 years, I think, which was a smallish plot, which was mostly dahlia based. I had no sort of real undercover space. I tried, you know, caterpillar tunnels and things like that. And then randomly in June last year, so for the people who don't know what an allotment is, you rent it from year to year, and my allotment year is October to October. But there was a lady on my plot whose her particular plot I had eyes on because she had a little polytunnel, and she'd always said to me, if I give up my plot, you can take it over and have the polytunnel. So I had my beady little eyes on that plot for some time, and then unfortunately, due to ill health, she decided she couldn't actually keep going with the plot, and in June last year she gave it up. She surrendered it to me.
And I remember we celebrated over. Obviously sad for her, but great for you. Much celebrations were had.
So I took over that plot, and because, like I said, she hadn't been very well for a while, nothing life-threatening or anything, and I think she's on the mend now. But, well, it was not in a very worked state. I spent most of last year trying to dig up dockweeds. My sympathies go out to anyone who has those horrors, because they've got tap roots like parsnips. Some of them were like a foot long at least, trying to dig them out. So digging out dockweeds and then digging them out again two or three times, just kind of trying to learn about the plot really, because there was some things that were established that were on there. She had some fruit bushes and things like that, and she had some gooseberry bushes and red currant bushes, which we grew last year.
And you started a series last year, did you not, where Tom tried things? Tom, Taste Nicole's with Tom. Husband. Oh, there we go. Taste with Tom. Tom Tries Things is also pretty good.
Yes. He has a highlight on my Instagram after popular demand of people wanting to go back and watch him again, which he is thoroughly mortified at. The bit that made me laugh the most last year out of all the DMs that I got was... because it was like, you know, we were in pandemic mode and what have you. We weren't going in supermarkets together. But we didn't want to... I had nothing else to do, really. So I would drive to the supermarket, Tom would go in, and I'd wait in the car. And I got a DM from somebody outside Aldi to say, oh my God, I think I've just seen Tom, aka Taste with Tom, in the middle aisle of Aldi, and I really wanted to go over and fangirl, but I thought he'd think I was crazy. And I was like, I so wish they'd done that and I could have been in there to see it, because Tom would have been mortified. But it would have been hilarious. So if you do see him around the local shops in my area, feel free to embarrass him.
Please shout Tom Tastes Things. Wrong, I think.
Yeah. Just a bit, especially in the supermarket, you know, fresh produce aisle and all that. People might be but yes. So we had some fruit bushes and what have you, and I had to
We got to talk about your highlight from Tom Tries Things. My highlight was when he ate a dahlia. I actually see that in my dreams. And for reference, for anyone who hasn't watched this Instagram story, he shoved it in his face like a chicken wing. Just like the whole thing went in.
Like I imagine how some people eat cupcakes. One and done kind of thing. He just smashed it in.
And committed.
And committed. I ended up having to tell him he could spit it out because I think it required more chewing than he envisaged. I also thought when I said to him, do you want to try a dahlia, that he was going to like nibble, eat a few petals or something. Mm. But... if he's going in, he's going in. So.
He's a good Instagram husband. Got a good one there. Commits to the shot. Sorry, absolutely. Go on. Sorry, fruit bushes. Sorry.
Yeah, so I had to decide whether, like, did I... Because I know you said veg is boring, but I do have a bit of veg on the plot. And
outrageous.
I had to decide whether... I mean, I just can't live without a homegrown courgette or zucchini. So I ended up actually getting rid of the gooseberries and the currant bushes because they were just taking up too much space. And let's face it, does anybody actually like a red currant?
I mean, went to Poland and I drank red currant vodka. They steep vodka with red currants and they drank it straight. And I was pissed as a fart in about two small glasses. But it was tasty great. 10 out of 10.
Tell me that now I've dug the bushes up.
It's too late for you. Carry
too late for me. But yeah, so we got rid of them and we didn't have our most successful year last year because we took it over in June. You know, everything was so late to get in the ground and it was, you know, I had both plots for about a month whilst I moved everything over. So this year I'm determined that it's going to be the best year ever. A big statement, right? And I also need to learn how to grow in that polytunnel because it's different.
It is.
It's different growing undercover than it is outside, especially with water. Like the amount of watering that's needed in there. It is honestly like its own little climate in there. It's so warm and what have you. So that is definitely a goal for this year, is to work out how to make sure everything survives in that tunnel. And what about you, Sarah? What did you grow on last year? You've told everyone that this year you're moving to a smaller garden and maybe looking at an allotment. But last year you had a very different situation.
It comes with the theme, though, so because the year before was my first year, and if I do say so myself, as a first yearer, I kind of nailed it. I had a good
mix
of everything.
You had a stonking year.
Thank you. It was sheer fluke and a lot of Instagram advice, but my first year was great. My second year, we added a bed, and we ended up filling it with vegetables. Boo. But admittedly, the difference was my work. I had a lot more work on, like real day job work, which was sad. So I didn't really have the time to commit to it. Plus, with the running of this wonderful, wonderful show. So ironically, I spent more time talking about gardening, I think, than I spent gardening. But I had a pretty magnificent dahlia patch. I think I doubled my number of dahlias, and that was amazing for most of summer. And my other big highlight was I invested in what I'm calling the Great Wall of Sweet Peas. It was just a massive sweet pea structure. It bloomed like what feels like all year almost. It started early and it just kept going. It was glorious. What did I discover? I also did several rounds of ranunculus, whereas previously I've only ever had one round. So I had ranunculus for a lot of the season as well. And I think a highlight of last year for me was I had the Duchess of Cornwall.
You did. That was a big highlight. I was very jealous.
Admittedly, that was quite early in the season. The only homegrown things I had was some overwintered stocks. They were beautiful. I had some ranunculus, early ranunculus in all the good shades, proper Italian ranunculus. They were magnificent. And then everything else, admittedly, was foraged. So I had euphorbia, I think. I had some that was out already. And some
Did
other
you find
like
some lilac?
Yeah, I think I had some lilac and some sort of shrubby, branchy items. I was going to find some local flower farms, but no one had anything to offer me. So basically I got a phone call and it said, you know, they said, Camilla would like to come and, you know, arrange some flowers. Obviously before the season had started, really. So you're like, oh, okay, great. I guess I'll just like magic some flowers up out of nowhere.
And magic you did. You did.
Yeah, we did.
Made lovely bunches.
So we stood together. We talked about her love of flower arranging. She said it's her favourite thing to do. So I spent a little bit of time showing her the garden, talking about the project. We arranged some flowers together. And then admittedly, that was so exhausting. I'm just going to blame that for the fact I didn't do a huge amount of gardening after that. Plus, there was no deployed serving men and women, so project kind of changed a little bit, but we did still run family sessions. But yeah, I like sort of narrowed down. My first year I grew everything ever. Like I had asters, I had, what did I have? I had sweet peas, sweet williams, snaps. Oh, I loved the snaps. I had gyp from seed. What did I had some stuff in the polytunnel. Oh, I had, oh, what's the one that looks like aliens? My brain's gone.
Celosia.
Yes, I had celosia in the polytunnel, all sorts of things. And I guess that just didn't last forever. Sad.
What's on the cards for this year, though?
Well, my situation has changed somewhat. So I'm moving into a little housey house. And my project, my love of projects remains. And my new project is bedding flowers. I am, hopefully, fingers crossed, buying a little Victorian terrace. And I'm dreaming of window boxes. So I'm currently growing pansies, petunias, and lobelia. How would you say that out loud? I've just read it.
I'd go with any of those.
Lobelia in white. So I've gone for like nice colour schemes because I always get upset by the bedding plants we can buy here in the garden centres. They're always so clashy. It's always like...
garish.
Yeah, it's always like yellow and purple, which does bring me some joy, but not as much joy as like nice clashy colours, like pinks and yellows, which is a bit more of like an ice creamy sort of vibe. So basically I'm currently plotting to cover the front of my house in window boxes with nice flowers. And now I've got a sort of shady yard area in the back that I need to start plotting. I'm thinking of like nice shade resistant plants that are going to grow well back there. And also already planning to steal from Compostable Kate. I'm going to put a worm farm in my flower bed, I've decided.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've yes. eyed up a plastic bucket. I've got my drill ready and I'm going to have a worm farm. So those are my quiet plans for next year. What are yours?
Well, the dahlia patch will be the biggest it's been, I think. But I've learned my lesson with the dahlias in that... Yeah, what a surprise. Surprise, surprise. Like last year, I went all out with the pink. And this year, it's still going to be a lot of pink. But I'm trying to lean into some of the peachier tones, salmons, corals. I've even got some... that are maybe bordering on orange.
Nicole, welcome to the dark side.
Is copper orange? It's called Copper Boy, yes. One of the ones I've ordered. But not like a pow, smack you in the face orange.
It's orange. I bet you, Nicole from a year ago, if I had sent her a picture of it saying I wanted to buy it, would have been like, yeah, I don't like it.
I don't know what lured me. I'll tell you who lured me was one of our other guests, was Heather from
Sneaky Heather.
Yeah, Sneaky Heather from Pink Petal Farms. She sucked me in with that Copper Boy. So I've got that one. I think I've got another borderline orange one that I cut. Brown Sugar, that's called Brown Sugar. Let's see what they end up like. But you know, I've got all the usual goodies. I've also got more roses than I've ever had before, and I've put some of them in the ground at the pot to hopefully get some cut flowers from them.
Ooh.
And like I said, I've got the polytunnel that I'm trying to grow some more unusual things in there. I'm trying to get an early crop of ranunculus and anemones. I'm going to try some zinnias and celosia in there as well this summer. Hopefully they'll like the warmth. And then, yeah, I think like every year I just want it to be bigger and better, more sweet peas this year, more other types of flowers. I'm trying... I'm trying the Iceland poppies.
I thought it was too late. Are we not too late?
I just sowed mine like a week ago.
Ooh, so she's not too late. Okay, see, I'm going to do it.
Let's see how they go. Nice. They've not germinated yet, and that was 4 days ago, so let's see what happens. They might need a bit of, I don't know, maybe I need to listen to Gemma's episode again, right?
I think I do. Yeah, I'm going to re-listen to that one.
Yeah, definitely. See, we listen to our own episodes for tips.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, I just want it to be bigger and better. I've got more varieties of snaps. Last year, I had the only variety. And I've forgotten how to say it. I'm afraid.
Oh,
Potomac. I said it right, right?
Potomac. Yeah, no, that sounds like
Potomac. Potomac. I mean, we've had enough DMs telling us how to pronounce it. We should really know.
Blank brain.
It's because I have the fear of saying it because it's possibly the most DM'd thing we've ever had. Was all our lovely American followers with voice notes telling us how to say it
and implying how embarrassing. Our American geography bad.
Yeah, but yes, I only had that variety, and this year I've got Madame Butterflies in lots of colours. Mm-hmm. I've got some Chantilly, Light Salmon, Hello, Here I Come on the orange palette.
Do you know what? I think I've converted you. I deserve credit for this.
You've already had credit for the podcast. You can't have credit for everything, Sarah.
Give it all to me. I've converted Nicole to orange. That is miraculous. I remember there was a dahlia I had. What was it? Cabana Banana.
Ugh. No, yeah, you're not converting me to that. No, I do not like Cabana Banana.
I love Cabana Banana. I might buy her for my new garden.
No. You're not getting me that far.
Listen, listeners, are you listening to this? This is what I have to deal with. Can you hear this? She's so judgy. Here I am accepting her and all her pinkness.
What can I say? I know there's going to be some listeners here like, oh my God, she's finally on the orange side. You know who you
Join
are.
Join us. Mm-hmm. Well, because I'm quite excited because I'm getting to start from scratch. I accidentally did not manage to keep my dahlia tubers all alive. Sad. But I'm never that sad about it because I'm a small scale grower and I will just buy more. And then I get the chance to buy new ones. So I'm like, they died, but what a shame. I'll buy more. So I now get to start plotting new dahlias completely.
That is exciting.
And I also, because I'm keen for my my potted displays out the front of my little house to house, I'm going to look at some dwarf ones that are not for cutting. Because there are some pretty ones.
There are some pretty ones, but there's also some midway ones that you don't have to go full on. Like, I think the ones you're thinking of, like the Bishop's Children ones, Bishop of Land.
Aren't they the single ones that are slightly
unusual?
Yeah,
but like if I was going to go just potted, I'd pick some of the smaller varieties, so not dwarf as such, which the Bishop's Children ones are classified as the dwarf ones, but like I'd be going for things like Daisy Duke or maybe Creme de Cassis because they're shorter.
I had, in my first patch, one of my mistakes I made in year one was one of the ones I ordered was like a potted dahlia as opposed to like a proper garden dahlia. I think it was called like Totally Orange, something orange.
Totally Tangerine.
Was it? Is that short?
It is. I've got that for a pot this year. Oh my God. Tangerine is orange, isn't it? I have gone to the orange side.
You look really concerned about that. You actually look like you're going to have a cry.
If I buy a yellow one.
It's the end. It's the end of the world.
That's the end. Then you know I've been taken over by the pod people.
But that's my sort of, because I had, it was like orange, doubly orange, and it just flowered really profusely. None of them were long enough for cutting. Boo. But to enjoy in a pot, very prolific. So I want to get a few of those in nice peachy, pinky peachy colours. Also maybe some
bright. Better get a move on.
Am I too late? Where am I in the
world? Tuba time's nearly done.
I hadn't thought about that.
Go, go, go.
Well, I've let myself get distracted by work. Boo. Okay, time to do a dahlia order. I'm going to do that.
That's got to be the number one job.
I've ordered begonias. They've arrived.
I can't get excited about begonias. I'm sorry.
Boo.
Boo indeed. Do I dare ask what you're most excited about this year? And if you don't say what I want you to say, I'm going to be so disappointed.
This is a test and I'm going to fail. I am the most excited for roses.
Woo! She got it!
I actually wasn't sure I was going to get that. Okay, great. Because if you haven't been following the Rose journey, in every, basically every episode, Nicole fangirls with each guest about the roses they all own. And Nicole knows all the names of them. And Nicole's so great at roses. And Nicole's so good. And Nicole likes David Austin. And I'm like, I get it.
Don't complain. We got the David Austin handbooks this year, the beautiful ones.
Oh, it was
And
pretty.
You were fangirling over that. Thank you very much, Steve, who I know listens to our podcast.
Thank you, Steve. And if you want to come on and be a guest, we promise we're not scary.
good luck with that one.
So I reluctantly... Well, I know I bought myself a rose and I killed it. So rose one, dead.
But well, can I just say that roses are pretty much indestructible for anyone who is listening to Sarah's killing of it. It was because she kept the bare root next to a radiator before she planted it. It didn't just die of its own accord.
Whoa. My mum kept it next to a radiator. I just want to... She doesn't listen to this, so I'm going to get away with it. My mother kept it next to a radiator. Disgraceful. And they dried out. I planted them anyway, just to check, but alas, no signs of life, which is fine because, you know, it wasn't meant for me and what is meant for me will be. So I'm going back to the drawing board and I'm buying more roses, but this time they're going to be, I might go for a climbing rose because I'm on Pinterest.
We just recorded next week's episode, which we're not going to spoil it as to who it was, but it was... a rose grower, a rose farmer, wink, wink. In fact, who you're going to love this episode. We loved recording it. But they gave Sarah some sneaky tips on roses she should get. So now you've got a list.
I've got a list and I'm going to order them. Though I did briefly start scrolling the David Austin shop while they were talking, which is very rude, but I couldn't resist. And I'm now debating, do I go... bare root or do I go potted? Do I have less chance of killing it if it comes potted?
I don't think it makes that much difference, to be fair. Although, if you're going... Actually, because you're not moving just yet, maybe the potted is better because it can live in the pot, providing you water it and don't keep it next to a radiator. You might
stop
have some
wagging your finger at me, Nicole. You're giving me the... Give me the rose mum talking to you like, stop killing my babies.
If you have got it in the pot, I think you've got more chance of keeping it alive before you move in the next few weeks, because then you can water it.
The website, the David Austin website, good marketing, because the picture of the bare root looks, you know, bare and a little sad.
Rooty.
And the... But the potted one is... leafy and it looks magnificent, and my brain is like, well, that looks like the better option because it's leafy and I can't kill it if it already has leaves. Well, I could, but I will try not to.
I think you've probably got less chance of killing it because it comes already with soil that you can water and nurture, rather than the bare root, which I would normally recommend because it's cheaper and, like, at this time of year it's perfect time for it. But knowing everything you've got on your plate at the moment, I'm going to advocate the potted rose for you, Sarah.
The mum voice on you. Knowing everything you've got on at the moment.
I'm trying to be, you know, sympathetic and a good friend.
Thank you, yes.
And while still encouraging your newfound love of the rose.
Mm-hmm. I must conquer the rose. And I am quite excited at the idea of growing one up the front of a house.
I think it's going to look gorgeous.
And we know about me, I like a project. And once I complete the project, I don't always continue with the project. So I'm excited for a new project that's going to be decorative house flowers. Mm.
It will be very exciting.
Thank you. I'm very excited. Well, and we have both also this year taken up soil blocking.
Oh, yes. We love a soil blocking. If you haven't listened to our episode with Lisa yet, I don't know what you were doing, because that's got to be one of our best ever listened to episodes. I think probably everyone has listened to it.
She is amazing.
And I've got so many soil blocks on the go. I'm just like, I've got my little thing. It looks like I'm making brownies out of mud. And I'm just sewing with them. They've just like changed my life as to the space I've saved with them. I feel like though the soil blocking thing is a bit of a, it's my first year. It's a bit of an evolution to get the right
consistency, the right mix
and what have you. So I think I might have finally found it. But yeah, that's my message to anyone who's messaged us to say it hasn't quite worked out for them. You have to, I really find it differs on what compost I use to start with. Like some want more water, some want more sand or whatever.
I would say, I think the biggest thing I learned is that I follow the recipe in terms of the dry ingredients. So like the cocoa coir.
I'm going to go with coir in future.
Coir. And the compost and like the vermiculite, if you're adding that kind of stuff. And if you're adding like a food, I follow those. But the amount of water I find, I've had to learn what the right moistness is. And look at your face.
Such a horrible word.
You're welcome. You're all welcome. And I think that's the key. Because if you follow it where it says, you know, 2 cups of water, you don't always get that right. So I think I watched some videos.
Whenever anyone says cups, I'm like, are your cups my cups? Because I don't think so.
You know, that's an official measurement. You can, like, there's a measuring
cup. Yeah, but for baking. But does that mean that people in America have got the baking cups out?
Maybe. I don't know.
Or is it because you're using the same cup for everything, it doesn't make a difference?
Actually, yes, that's the correct answer. You are correct. That makes much sense. So I do use one receptacle for like measuring out all the bits. Cup is, yeah, not the word. And then I add water until it gets that consistency. Like you should be able to compress it in your hands, some water should drip out, and then it should hold together like a snowball. And then you know you're ready.
The water for me varies wildly depending on like how long I've had the compost for or whatever. Sometimes I can need like a ton, or sometimes it just needs, I'm like, oh, it's done.
And I find if I make up a big batch, and that's the other thing I do, I've got a trug with my soil blocking mix, all the dry ingredients already mixed, so I just take a bit out and add water as I need it. And I find that's really useful, because otherwise if you have to do your mixing up every time you try and do it, it gets a bit dull.
Yeah, I try and make like a big batch in one go and block away.
So tangent, I've gotten distracted.
Soil blocking, consistency,
I've got nothing. My brain just went dead. Honestly, it's like tumbleweed between my eyeballs right now. We're talking about the consistency, and then it has to be wet. Yeah, I've got nothing. Oh, no, that was my tip. It's come back to me. I find when you get to the end of your what's in your tray that you're stamping your blocks out of, I often have to add more dry mix because it gets too wet towards the end. Because as you've been making... Stop giggling. As you've been making the blocks, some of the liquid has seeped out.
And then I'm laughing because you just said to them about something I said, look at what I have to deal with. And then I'm laughing here that this is so you.
What?
Going off on your tangent and then forgetting what the tangent was, because you went so far down the tangent that the tangent was forgotten.
Hey, but it was a really good advice. So if you do loads of your blocks and then all of a sudden your tray seems like it's too wet, I sprinkle some dry compost in there to soak up some of that extra moisture.
Top tip.
Novice. You're welcome.
And on, I mean, I feel like that has been a good recap of last year and what we're looking forward to this year.
Anything else for the people? You're just staring at me. Are we having a moment?
We're having a moment. So that is about wrapping up this episode. Do we have anything else we'd like to tell the lovely listeners before we wrap up for today?
We, just as much as we have liked giving you a bit of a background about us, we love hearing about you. So if you want to send us a message with, you know, what you've learned in the show or what you're up to or anything exciting and some pictures
tag
of your flowers.
Tag us in your stories.
We love
tag us in your
a
posts.
Picture of flowers. Yeah, just let us know. We, you know, it's a fam. We can't keep, you know, doing this one-sided relationship. It's outrageous. That's it from me.
Well, thank you all for listening this week. I hope you've enjoyed the slightly different episode from Let's Grow Girls this week. And we will be back with, drumroll, the finale next week of this season.
Dun, 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 dun.
Which is a goodie, and that will drop next Friday. So do I dare say, make sure you're subscribed to us on your podcast.
We haven't done that in a
choice.
While.
No,
yes,
I thought we'll get that in there.
You should subscribe and you should leave us a nice review because we love reading them. It is our favourite hobby. And on that note, we will see you next week.
Bye.